really need the PowerPoint. Let's do that to kind of help us out a little bit. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you for this special week of Thanksgiving as we celebrate as a country the freedom and the blessings you've given us. Lord, as a church, we want to be reminded of your goodness to us as well. And Lord, that's what we were doing this series for, so that we would recall and remember and praise you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us that we take for granted many times. I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in all we do and say. Just help us to be willing to even share this morning as we open up a little bit about some of the things that we do take for granted in all the areas that you bless us in. We give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I belong to several different things on the internet. I knew this was going to be doing this. I'm going to move this down a little bit, so hopefully it'll pick up. When I speak, it goes. So if you haven't picked up on that, hopefully you can hear me. I'll stay by this. But I get a bunch of different things about updates for ministry, and I belong to one. It's called Mikey's Funnies. And I get something every day. I've probably had it for 20 years. The guy's in ministry. He's not a pastor. But he sends out some different jokes every morning. And usually they're about the church and people in the church. Every once in a while, he'll slip in a joke about a pastor. And they're not near as funny. You'll hear this in just a minute. I know you're not going to laugh because it's really rude. He said a new minister went to a church and began making all these improvements in his church, making different changes in the service. But one of his changes included putting hot air dryers into the washrooms. The article said he had them removed 2 weeks after that because someone had stuck a notice on one of them which read, "For details of last week's message, press here." My wife's writing down anybody who laughs about that just because that's not funny. I thought it was. That's why I shared that with you. But press here. Hopefully you don't look at it as just a bunch of hot air. But in case you, since we don't have a hair dryer in our bathrooms, I'll let you know. For the last couple of weeks, we have been doing a Thanksgiving series, Faith, Family, Friends, and Freedom. In our first week, we looked at those four areas. Then last week, we looked at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the past, as well as this present work today. This morning, I want to concentrate on some of the provisions that he gives to us and some things that we take spend very little time praising him for, maybe we even take for granted. And our last one is probably one that we don't spend a whole lot of time thanking God for either. But in preparation for this, I started working on this this series, and even our Christmas series for the month of October, and we had speakers every week. And I Googled Thanksgiving list just to see what would come up, just to kind of give me some ideas. And I was amazed that hundreds of pictures came up. Hundreds of pictures of food, of turkeys, of stuffing, of mashed potatoes, and there were several lists that came up of lists of things to do the week of Thanksgiving, like chore lists, like, you know, getting your turkey out, I don't know, so many hours for so many pounds, what to do Thanksgiving morning of setting the table, washing the linen, setting out the name tags, all those things which we do, we get busy for on a Thanksgiving. But not one of those lists on that whole Google page had anything to do with praises. The list included this: 10 reasons to be thankful you're not a turkey. I could come up with a lot more of those. 10 reasons to be thankful for the empty nest. And I'm assuming that's the home, not the turkey nest. 10 reasons to be thankful you're not that you're an introvert. And then this one, they really had to think hard for 10 reasons of this. I couldn't come up with one. 10 reasons to be thankful for cats. Unless you're cooking those along with your turkey, I'm kidding. I would, if you're in China, you would eat a cat, but not here in America. But it was pretty sad, you know, lists of things to do for Thanksgiving, but nothing about a list of things to be thankful for. And this morning, I want us to concentrate on that. And again, we're going to open up just a few minutes after each one of these points to have us share a little bit. But you're aware, it's in the top of your notes there, of news from Puerto Rico over the last few months. I just heard a report, I think it was like 18% of the country. It had been up to like 28 or 30% of the country had power, and then there was another outage, so it's down to like 17 or 18%. But Puerto Rico, with the recent hurricane, was in the news. Devastation. Florida, folks in Houston, with all the results of the winds and flooding. I don't know if you saw the picture, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, of the nursing home of people just sitting in wheelchairs up to their waist in water. People struggling with no shelter from the sun and the rain, the heat and the cold, colder evenings. No food, no water. Homes were completely destroyed. I mentioned this too, that we had friends in Houston who lived up the street and they had some water damage, some trees, limbs came down. But they lived up high enough, and they said right down the street, 5 and 6 feet of water just flooded out homes, maybe a little bit more than that. And I remember Robin putting on Facebook, she kind of gave updates of what was going on, but she just said, we're struggling with guilt. You know, our neighbors were destroyed, and we didn't get anything. So much to be thankful for. And I want you to be thinking this morning of maybe some things, and we'll have it up on lists. It's gone again. Is it broke down again, Ron? The PowerPoint? Okay. Well, to be thinking, whether we have it up there or not, you can still, that's just going to kind of give you some help in thinking. But I've been in parts of the world where there is no clean water, where people bathe in the same streams where people are drawing drinking water from and cooking water from, where some of these places where water is not only polluted, it's often deadly. If we were to drink it as Americans, it could very easily kill us. I've been in villages where power came on several hours a night. Cheryl and I were in Africa, and that's where what happened there. They turn the generator on from 7 o'clock at night till maybe about 11 o'clock at night, and then not every night. So it was kind of hit and miss, depending on if they had the gas or if they could get it started. We drove on roads, main roads, in many places. This is in Brazil and in Africa and sometimes in Jamaica. But roads that were their main roads, which would be much like us going down the end of Stony Fork Road and crossing over into Morris through the creek. Just like that. Often the roads were flooded and they couldn't drive them. But when they were drivable, it was like rocks and ruts deep enough to swallow up a vehicle. And those were the main roads that people traveled on. I've been in places where I craved cold milk, or really cold anything, but they didn't have the generators. We've been in areas where food had to be purchased each day for dinner that night. And we were in some markets in Africa and Nigeria that were disgusting. We would not want to shop there. They were dirty. They were smelly. There were bugs everywhere. And one of the things that we hated most was vultures, huge vultures, just hanging on tops of the tents, just looking down at you as you walked in, and just waiting for someone to drop a piece of meat. And not just two or three vultures, but hundreds of vultures in these markets. And then the women would go sometime during the day, either in the morning or in the afternoon, and they'd buy the fruits, they'd buy vegetables, and they'd buy maybe a small piece of meat for dinner that night, but they couldn't buy it for tomorrow, because there was nothing there to preserve what they were buying. They had to use it that day. I've been in places where we had to sleep with bug netting in order to get a good night's sleep, because if you didn't, you could get malaria and die from that. In Africa, we never had a problem with it. In Brazil, it wasn't quite as bad as far as the diseases, but I remember one night my father-in-law and I were in Brazil, and he had gotten his airline pilot's license. He had flown a number of times. And I laid down. It sounded like an airport. It was in each ear. And I just said to him, I said, can you hear that? And he goes, and he was starting to go a little bit more hard of hearing, but he still heard it in your ear. So what I ended up doing, and I was probably awake for 4 hours. I just got up and got some toilet paper and just rolled it up and just stuck it in each ear. I still got bit, but at least I didn't hear him biting me. But I wasn't worried about getting sick from getting bug bit in Brazil. In Nigeria, we had to have bug netting every night because you could die from that. We had friends who were missionaries in Africa who lost a child while they were doing laundry at the river. Their child, I think he was 8 or 9, Cheryl might remember, 8 or 9 years old, a crocodile came up, grabbed him. They heard him screaming. By the time they got to him, he was already gone underwater. And we don't think about that, do we? Do you ever worry about an alligator or crocodile grabbing you when you're doing the laundry? We don't think about that. I've been in a leprosy hospital in Jamaica where the children, or a leprosy hospital in Africa, where the people are still suffering from the biblical disease that we don't think about here. The orphanages in Jamaica where kids are dying of diseases we don't think about anymore because we have vaccines and immunizations against these diseases, but these kids are dying from things that don't bother us anymore. See, we take so much for granted, and we have so much to be grateful for. And I wanted that verse up here, in everything, give thanks, but this is God's will for you. We shared that this month with our teens at the Teen Center. It's kind of been our theme for this month, but in everything, give thanks. And we want to look this morning at three different areas of provision, and the fourth area, as I said, something that we don't often thank God for. But first off is our physical provisions. Matthew 6:11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Again, we don't often think about that, but like the women who shop day by day by day by day in Africa in order to have food for this day, that's our prayer. God promises us provision for today. He doesn't even promise we're going to have it tomorrow, but we need to keep in mind He does bless us. He does provide for us each day. And again, I want you to be thinking, but here's a few things that I just put up. Things that we probably take for granted. I came in this morning and I plugged in the coffee maker, by the way. We have a coffee maker at the Teen Center that they always unplug. And Joe was saying, he says, you should always unplug that. And I said, I leave the one at church plugged in all week. Because it said in the directions to do that. And he goes, well, he said, I'm kind of have a phobia about things being plugged in. So I came over and unplugged it. So I came in this morning and plugged it in, let the water heat up. But I got the coffee out, got a pitcher of water out of the sink. Didn't even think about it having to boil it first. Just poured it in. Came up. I always get a cup and put some ice in it right out of the fountain every morning so I can have it here in case I start coughing or my mouth gets too dry. Don't think anything about it, do we? We don't think anything about just getting a drink of water. But I tell you, you wouldn't do that in China or Brazil or Jamaica or anywhere else in most countries of the world. Have the clean water, clean air. Again, throughout the world, people wear masks because of the pollution. Heating and air conditioning, especially when you thought about those people down in Texas with the flood and the hurricane, they said one of the worst things other than having stuff destroyed was just the humidity and the heat and not being able to find a place because a lot of them were sleeping outside. And just imagine that, not having the heat or the air conditioning through the year. Fresh food, medical care. You know, people complain about our nation's health care system, but we live in the most sophisticated, best-trained country in the world where people who are dying literally want to come to America to be treated. When we traveled, it was kind of a standing joke. When you travel around the world, people say, don't get too sick, because if you do, you don't want to be treated in this country. It's not a joke, but it's kind of a joke when you're traveling with a group of Americans doing missions work. You just don't get sick. I told you about in Brazil, Skeet Keaton, who's at Gailton Baptist Church. We were down in Brazil with him for 3 months. And his son, Danny, we were chopping with a machete, and all of a sudden the Nigerian or Brazilian worker went over and started screaming at him. Well, I didn't understand him. Danny did, because Danny spoke Portuguese, and the guy ran right past Danny's leg and swung a machete, and there was the deadliest snake in the world was about this close to Danny's leg. And if he had bit him, he would have died, because by the time we would have gotten him out of where we were, Danny would have died. But we don't think about that. Now, we have poisonous snakes here, but we also have medical care right close to us. Look at travel. Another thing that Russ mentioned this morning, as we talked about the Hawes in Papua New Guinea, is one of the things that the Tallman said is that Kelly feared so much was travel. She'd drive down the road and people would stop them looking for a bribe and put a machine gun in the window and ask for a bribe or just ask where you're going and search your car. You know, if that happened once on a trip, you could put up with it, but it happens like every 3 or 4 miles. We don't think about that. Electricity, 24 hours a day. I got up this morning. I woke up probably about 2 o'clock, and I saw our clock was blinking. We're used to that in this area, going off 10 or 15 minutes occasionally and sometime maybe overnight. But we take it for granted, don't we? What are some things that we take for granted that you are thankful for that maybe not on this list, or maybe you would include it somewhere on this list, but we just want to thank God this morning for our daily provision. Anyone at all? Just something that we take for granted that you are thankful for as far as a physical provision. Okay. That's true. We're all ready for some snow and cold weather, but it's nice right now. But no, we do appreciate it. I love the seasons, too, just the change of the seasons. What else? Clothing. Just, we have so much. We have kids that come to the teen center who will wear a lot of the times the same thing several days a week. In China, I told you that students wore the same thing. They you go to their closet, and they'd have maybe four shirts and two sets of pants, and they never smelled because they did their laundry every night in the dorm. But we'd go with a suitcase. Matter of fact, I told you, we had our suitcase was lost leaving Chicago, and we got it 2 days, a girl from our team and I. But I had more clothes in my carry-on bag than most of the Chinese have in their closet forever. And that's all that they have. But I packed enough underwear, a couple shirts, and another extra pair of pants. I never wore the same thing twice the whole time I was there for 2 weeks. What else?
Security.
That's right. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit more, but security. Anything else? Folks, we take so much for granted. The Lewises are helping at the teen center. It's not probably as bad this year, but there are kids over the number of years who they're not eating as much as they used to. They used to come in and just inhale stuff because that was the only food they were getting for the day. And that happens in our area. Little Wellsboro has people who are hurting for food. We have so much. Security is another thing we just think for, you know. I'm so thankful. I never had a parent. I got spankings, but I never had a father who came home drunk and hit me. Never had a mother who just had a bad day and just slapped me across the face. We have kids happen all the time. Security. Anybody else? Okay, number two is emotional provisions. And again, we don't often think about this either, but we see God meeting the emotional needs of his people throughout Scripture. And I gave you two there in your notes. One is an example of Naomi. Naomi in the story of Esther, or Ruth. Remember, she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, and all she had left were daughters-in-law. And the old joke of how daughters-in-law and mothers-in-law don't get along is pretty well known. But Ruth stayed with Naomi. But Naomi said, when she got back into town after her husband and children, her boys had died, and Ruth stayed with her, Orpah left and went back home to her people. And she tried to encourage Ruth to go home too, but Ruth said, no, I want to be with you. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. She got back into town, and they said, hey, Naomi. And she said, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me Bitter. Call me Bitter. Call me Mara. And then as you read through that story, it's just a short chapter, short four chapters. Read it if you haven't read it lately. And see how God provided Boaz, provided a husband for her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And she went from being bitter to being blessed. And what a great story of emotional meeting that is. But also think of, and there's plenty more that we could have looked at, but if you looked at Romans chapter 8:15, and think about God giving us the emotional security. Abba, Father. And just in your notes there, it literally means daddy. That's what that Abba means. Abba, Father. He's saying, call me daddy. Call me daddy, Father. My kids don't call me daddy anymore, but when they were younger, it was always a neat thing to hear. Hey, daddy. Daddy, come play with me. Daddy, come sit with me. That's what he's inviting us to. He's our daddy. And he wants us to know that. What an emotional need that we have that he's met in doing that. Consider for a while, just a few minutes here, the emotional provision that God gives us. Do we ever worry about our children dying in a lake when we're doing the laundry? We may be concerned about their school safety. We may be concerned about them walking. We may have in the back of our minds sometimes after we hear of a school shooting of, is that going to happen at Wellsboro? Is that going to happen in our little town? Someone going to break into the door, the offices there? Do we live in fear in our home of someone tossing a grenade into our yard, just like the crews do when they lived in Central African Republic? They said that that was, if you remember that, do you remember how much you could buy a grenade for? You could buy, I think they said a large Coke was $1.50, a grenade was 90 cents or something like that. Can you imagine that? Children buying grenades instead of soda so they can just toss them at kids they don't like. That was happening all the time. We don't worry about that. We don't live daily listening for air raid sirens blowing like they do in Israel, warning of a missile coming in. We don't live in fear of them knocking on our door with weapons drawn to arrest us for having a Bible. We don't consider what it would be like having to meet secretly on a Sunday morning and having to call me as a pastor, calling everybody Saturday night and saying, hey, we're going to meet at the Lewis's this week. We're going to meet at the Morgan's tomorrow because we can't have word get out where we're going to be meeting today because they do worry about people coming in and killing them. The testimonies of people for carrying a Bible or having a verse written out or walking to church. I can't imagine living like that. Maybe you can. But we don't have the level of anxiety that many of our brothers and sisters around the world live in daily. What are some emotional blessings that we often overlook in the free country that we live in? Can you think of any that would just remind us of God's emotional provision? Something's got to be going through your minds. Okay, good. That's true. We don't imagine being the only believer in your village. Or like the Hawes wrote, Esther was a believer, but she was accused because of being a Christian, that maybe she was praying to God and God answered. I don't know what the sorcery accusation came by, but I don't worry about someone, even if they don't like me for being a Christian, I don't worry about them burning down my home. I don't worry about them stopping me and shooting me in the head. It could happen. I don't worry about that. I don't think about that. So the support of other Christians. Friday night, we had a great time. If you missed Friday night's movie night, you missed a great meal, but you also missed a great movie. But I just put yesterday, I said, it was just on the website, I said, what a great night with a church family. Just having the body of Christ together and just how much we love one another and just how great a night that was. So the support of our church family. What else? That's right. That's right. Yep, and we're going to mention that under spiritual provisions. That's the next one, but that's good, right? Yes. The support of a spouse. We don't like hearing the dreaded diseases that come out, whether it's cancer or whatever else, but having someone there, a family member who loves you and prays for you. And they kind of dealt with that in the movie the other night. We don't take that freedom for granted, though, do we? We can mention Christ. We can talk about Christ. We can share Christ. The world's not going to like it. And God already told us that in his word, that if they've persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But we still have the freedom to do it. Anyone else? Larry? 911. Just... Oh, I wasn't sure if we talked about 9/11.
No.
Okay, or 9/1. You just... Emergency access. All those things we take for granted. Let's cause that to cause us to praise God for the freedom and blessings he has for us or has given us. But let it also cause us to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who don't have that peace, that don't have that emotional provision. They do worry about guns and weapons and grenades and all the things that we just take for granted. I already mentioned what number three is. There's spiritual provisions. A couple of verses that I have up here for you to read. Let me just read them. It's Isaiah 48:17 says, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go." It's God who does it. It's God who gives us the spiritual provision. Romans 15:4. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We might have hope. That kind of goes back to the physical and emotional provisions that he's given us, but he gives us this hope. Even in the midst of emotional turmoil, he gives us hope. We discussed this last week when we talked about the Holy Spirit, how God has provided in many miraculous ways for our growth, spiritual growth and our maturity and our development. But we often overlook the ways God provides for us. We have dozens of Bibles in our homes. We have the Word of God. I don't know how many I have upstairs. I don't know how many I have in my house. I don't know how many I have in the office across town. We have dozens of Bibles in our home. We have access, as Russ said, to great Christian television, great Christian radio, messages on CDs of speakers that we'll never probably ever get a chance to meet, but who God has blessed and used and trained, and they're sharing their ministry with us. CDs of speakers and music. How encouraging is music? Good Christian music. We watched a video a few months ago of a pastor who just returned from China, and he shared the story about the woman who he was leading a Bible study with about 17 Chinese before he headed back. And he referred to a verse, and he only had like 8 Bibles. And a woman passed her Bible to someone else, and he asked her afterwards, said, "You know, why'd you do that?" She goes, "I have all of 1st and 2nd Peter memorized." And he goes, "Wow, how'd you do that?" And she goes, "I learned it in prison." And he said, "What do you mean you learned it in prison?" And she stared, you know, she was arrested for having a Bible, but they would smuggle in 3 or 4 verses at a time. And he said, "Well, what would happen if you were caught with that?" She said, "We'd either be beaten or killed." And he said, so you have that for a few hours, you learn it. You study it, you memorize it, you pass it on to someone else. Folks, we don't ever think about that. We have so much freedom to have the Word of God. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but when the Gideons were here, they gave us a little plastic card that you could put the app on your phone. Do that. It's hundreds of languages you can read it in, but you can choose the version of the Bible you want to listen to. And I've used it, and I've never listened to any other dialect, but listened to different versions. But it's available to the world. People who have phones can use this. But I don't worry about someone hearing it or seeing it on my phone and turning me into the police to arrest me. How many hymnals do we have with songs that we can use in worship? And again, I've talked to Christians in different parts of the world who they have to learn all 4 verses like Russ said. How many of us knew the 4 verses of the song we were singing? We didn't. But they learn all those verses so that they can sing worship to the Lord because they can't have a hymnal in their possession. What are some testimonies of praise for those things that God is the one who leads us, that God is the one who gives us hope? What are some spiritual blessings that you've experienced that you'd be willing to share this morning with us? We take it for granted. What else?
Last week, the guys that helped with the Christ.
And that's it. We overlook stuff. We don't. It's a blessing. We don't stop to think, oh, that's a hand from God. The other night, we at our Bible study, our small group, again, it's about the invisible war. And Chip Ingram just got started, and the video went off. And I kind of got myself, oh, and had to reboot that thing. And Ron goes, maybe that was a spiritual attack. We kind of laughed about it, and we stopped. That probably was. We need to be more aware of, so we prayed that God would have the victory, that it would act, that we'd hear the message that Chip had for us that night in the invisible war. But we miss sometimes it is Satan attacking us. And on the other side of that, we miss God's blessing to us because it's just part of life. We don't think about it. My challenge to you this morning is to look for God's hand in all of this, the physical provisions, the spiritual provisions, the emotional provisions. Anyone else have a testimony before we move on? Yes. Spiritual conviction. Aren't you thankful he just doesn't throw us away when the first time we mess up? I would have been gone about 10 seconds after I asked Christ to be my Savior. I messed up. It's a good thing he gives us conviction. He's patient with us. All right, the fourth one is something that we might not normally have on a list of praises. We don't often think about praising God for trials. but we need to add this to our list. We need to be grateful because trials can cause us to run to Christ for encouragement, for protection, for teaching, for shelter, to experience his arms that are open wide to us, that will embrace us. That's what trials can do for us. Some have been commenting lately to me, and I know we've said it here, but Christians need to turn to Christ before we turn to friends and to the things of the world. And so often we don't pray. So often we don't seek God. Some of us have gone through trials. The more I deal with teens and the more families and individuals I get to deal with, I realize that I've never really faced trials. I've had moments and some difficult things before, but there are people with severe health issues. A number of people I've met recently have MS, cancer, heart disease, many other physical problems. People with family issues, wayward children, aging parents, financial burdens, cheating spouses, unemployment, other financial things. And I realize I am so quick to complain and so slow to praise God for things that can often drive me to Him. In the past few years, we've witnessed some great trials in our own church family, physical things. And I know if I would mention some of them, like Bonnie's 2-year cough, she would say, well, that's nothing. Well, it was something. We prayed for it. Billy's testimony over, since I've been here for the last 8 years, things that his family have gone through and we've prayed for and we've encouraged him and he's encouraged us as a result of them. Mark and Billy Sue with what they've dealt with Tyler. Last Friday night, we were talking about, if you were here, you saw the movie about the teacher being on trial. And I said to Joanne, I said, I hadn't seen that movie before. And I said, I hope Aaron wasn't uncomfortable with that. And she said, it was almost a year ago. Remember that? Praying for the young worse with all that they went through and how God provided for that. But man, that wasn't fun to go through, was it? But they're on the other side of that. Now they can see God's hand revealed a little bit. They still don't see all, I'm sure they will still see all the blessings of everything they went through. But man, it's been God. And we have seen God answer time and time and time and time and time and time again. Answers in our prayers at prayer meeting and things that we've spoken about here. We've seen provisions for our missionaries. We've seen God provide for us financially in this past year when we were hurting. But death of loved ones. We've had many in our church have lost loved ones in the area and as well as outside of Wellsboro. But we've seen God be good. And I just put this passage up, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 9. Now, let me read the first part of it. It says, because of this passing greatness of the revelations, Paul is saying, because of the great things that God has done for me, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I asked the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, and here's what's up on the screen here, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, is perfected in weakness. And then Paul adds this, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Here's Paul saying, I don't like trials. Matter of fact, I ask God to remove this trial from me. But God's message to me is, stay under them, because you're going to learn my grace in those trials. I want to pause just for a few moments and just verbally praise God for some of the things that he's taken us through. When he moves us, and I put that at the bottom of your notes, allowing God to move us from self-sufficiency to God-dependence today. That's what trials do. We get to the end of our own strength, and we say, I have no place else to turn but to God. God, thank you for being there. God, thank you for being my rock. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you for sustaining me in these trials. Is there someone or a few of us that could just praise God? And I'm not asking you, don't feel like you're bragging about this. You're saying, well, my trial is bigger than anyone else's. But just whatever trial you've been going through, can you thank God for it this morning to say, I just thank God. You don't even have to get into what the trial was or what the difficulty is, but you're seeing God's hand in the midst of it. Anybody can share to be an encouragement to us today? Someone else. I could share a bunch of stories of things that I've heard, but someone here, Billy, shared anyone else? We know you're going through some difficulties. What? Thank you. We have friends, but we also have him that we can always go to in prayer. People to encourage us, but him to give us the strength. I shared this with a couple of you. So I was talking to someone this week. She came in to see me, and she wrote to me last week on Facebook and said, I need to talk to you. She's not a believer. I don't know her very well, but I told Cheryl, I said, she asked me to share my phone ding, and I told her it was a woman who comes in to the chiropractor. And she came in to see me, and she just said, so I started crying. She goes, would you meet with my husband? And I said, does he know I'm a pastor? She goes, oh, absolutely not. And I said, so she shared some of the things that were going on. I said, well, I just want to tell you, I'm coming at it from a Christian perspective. I'm coming at it as a pastor. And she goes, that's fine. This woman had an abortion when she was 23. She was crying. And I said, And one of the things that they wanted was to have children. They weren't able to. And I said, let me just ask you. I said, are you feeling guilt about the abortion? She goes, absolutely. And I said, let me just tell you, as a Christian, we look back. I said, are you familiar with Christ? She goes, yes. And she knew where I was heading. And I said, Christ died 2,000 years ago. I said, your abortion 20 years ago was still future to the cross. I said, Christ loves you. She was crying even more. She didn't make a decision. But she wrote to me and said her husband would come and has agreed to come meet with me. Neither one of them are believers. Just pray that opportunities that all of us have to share Christ, that we would be that light, that God is still working. And God is using a trial in this unbeliever's life, I think, to draw him to himself. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for all these things, just the physical provisions you give to us daily, the emotional things that you meet us where our needs are, the spiritual provision of the cross, of our relationship with you, but this daily blessings. And then, Lord, these trials that these people were able to praise you for today. Lord, again, we look back to a year ago with this whole thing with the young worse, and we were questioning what was going on, why this was happening. We went into that courtroom each of those days just wondering what was next. And some of us really believed that the outcome was going to be good, but it was kind of hard to keep having that faith when we heard some of the things that were being said. But Lord, we walked out of that courtroom. We're all writing texts and just saying, praise Lord, you answered. We weren't surprised by it, but we were blessed by it. And Lord, we see things every day. Lord, will you provide for us, and you give us an answer that sometimes is wait, sometimes is no, but it's always according to your will. And I just pray that we would be men and women who praise you for those things that we take for granted, that we would be aware not only of Satan's attack, but of your blessings to us. And I pray, Lord, that these things would drive us away from being so self-sufficient all the time to be more dependent on you. We'll give you the praise for that. Give us a great week of thanksgiving and daily living in praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand, please.